Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
All right, it is time for another week of N4G Radio. And I feel weird this week because the original four-person crew, I only have two of us here. We have Gambus Khan.
Greetings, programs.
And the Wombat is out. He's babysitting his son, and he's not cooperating, so he said he would not be on. And apparently K-Dub is down with the Ebola virus or something. Because he's apparently really, really sick, so... But in their place, we have the very capable Drew Leachman, the Frustrated Fury, is with us.
Yeah, what's going on?
Sound like you had a bowel stretching. Movement.
I was stretching.
And from across the pond, we have our good British friend, Mr. John W.
Well, howdy.
Howdy. But we have, since there was no show last week, but there is a show this week, so I obviously survived.
Yes.
We have a lot of games to talk about, even though Gambus doesn't really play games anymore.
Evidently not, even though I've had the biggest, longest fondling.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Dirty.
So we'll start with Mr. Khan, because Mr. Khan did something this week that he hasn't done in a long time. And that was review a game.
It's been a while.
So Mr. Khan, why don't you fill us in on what you have been fondling besides, you know, wedding invitations?
Okay. Alrighty. Since you mentioned that I reviewed a game, I'll go with that one first. As a matter of fact, you can see it right on the front page of ZTGD right now as we speak.
Oh, as we speak.
As we speak.
Click it now. Everybody click it.
Yep. And that is the new Naruto game, which is called Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 2.
Woohoo! What a title.
Oh my god.
Yeah. What can I say about this game? Well, in terms of visual presentation...
Are you clapping?
No, I just opened it up. I just opened the box. I'm like, yeah, let me look at this.
Oh, you're playing with the game. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought you were clapping for your review.
No. I wish I was clapping. I'd be like, yeah, this game is really cool. This is based on a Japanese anime, obviously. In terms of graphics, this has got to be one of the best uses of cell shading animation I've ever seen in a game. It literally is the anime in motion when you're playing it. It's really cool. It's an adventure game that has a lot of one-on-one fighting elements in it. And the fighting almost feels like more like boss fights than they do actual like a traditional 3D fighter like Tekken or something. However, you can go online and play against other people, and those matches are a little bit closer to a Tekken Soul Calibur type of game, even though the battle system is a lot different. The thing is, though, as much as I love the game, I do love the game, even though I'm not a big fan of the property of Naruto. This takes place during the Shippuden. If anybody's familiar with Naruto, the Shippuden.
Shippuden.
It's basically the second half of the Naruto series that takes place. There's like a 3-year hiatus where Naruto leaves the village.
The Hidden Leaf Village?
The Hidden Leaf Village.
Yep. God, why do I know that?
I don't even know that.
God, yeah. Watch that crap. Why do I know that?
Because you played the first game?
Oh, yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you return to the Hidden Leaf Village 3 years later, and you're all grown up. The stakes are higher. The bad guys want to destroy the whole world instead of just ruin your day.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dragon Ball Z when they added the Z.
Wouldn't it be Dragon Ball when they added the Z? Because otherwise it'd be Dragon Ball ZZ.
Yeah, ZZ Top.
Dude, if the guys in Dragon Ball had ZZ Top beards, I might watch that.
Dragon Ball ZZ Top. She
got legs.
That'd be the coolest show ever.
Agreed.
The thing is, I gave this game a really, really high score because I think it looks fantastic. Like during the fights, I was doing these like special moves that were like beyond epic.
But don't you have to just like press one button to do them?
I mean, there's quick time, but I don't think it's that. Annoying as quick time usually is.
Don't get your quick time in my fighting games.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like a boss element, cinematic. It gives a cinematic element to a fight. Like there's this one where Naruto turns into like 100 Narutos and like beats up the guy in like one attack. Pretty sweet, very very epic. And then all these flames and fire starts flying all over the place.
Through the fire and the flames.
Yeah,
they need to play the Dragon Force song when he starts beating him up.
Yeah, that would be awesome. As much as I really like this game, there is an element that I think is sucky, and that's you have to do fetch quests during a lot of the game. Go over here to the store and deliver their license to sell their food. Okay. I'm going to go over there and deliver their license. Okay, now you delivered their license. Now the second part is to deliver 10 licenses to these other stores. Okay. The fetch quests are basically busy work just to obtain money and to... I mean, you can literally feel that it was just put in there to extend the length.
That's what she said.
Yes, and I was like, what is this, World of Warcraft?
No, not quite.
No. But overall, great game. If you're a Naruto fan at all, even if you're a casual fan, this game is a must-buy.
Oh, shit, I'm reading some of the Twitters and the questions, and man, there's a funny shit this week. I'm sorry.
Well, we always like our Twitter questions. Uh-oh. They're laughing. Uh-oh, that's not a good sign.
Oh, it's a good sign for later.
Uh-oh. Something
raunchy.
Oh, it ain't raunchy, it's just funny.
But, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 2... Good game, good game. The next game I'm going to talk about is a pretty, how should I say, interesting game.
I hear you opening it as well.
Yes.
Is that going to be the new thing? Every time you talk about a game, you're going to open the case?
Probably. Just give a little bit of the atmosphere to it.
Yeah, you're going to get the hate mail that I got from clicking the pin, all right?
Oh, crap. Okay, I'm going to have to stop that then. Okay. The next game that I'm going to talk about is called Fist of the North Star, Ken's Rage. And I mean, first off, the title itself, I mean, whoever localized this, well, it was Koei. Blah,
Tecmo.
Tecmo Koei of America. His name, the main character's name isn't Ken. It's Kenshiro. But they probably didn't want to put that because it would have probably either A, taken up too much room on the box, or B, they wanted to Americanize it and not sound like a Japanese name. But,
okay.
I mean, yeah, a lot of companies do that nowadays. Well, not as much, but some do. But anyway, this game is also based on a Japanese anime / manga series. A series that dates all the way back to the really early 80s. I think if I'm not mistaken, like 1983. So this is a pretty long series franchise. And there has been Fist of the North Star games released in the United States before. There was one released on the original Nintendo, and there was one released on the Sega Genesis. I think they changed the name of it to Last Battle. it was one of the first games to come out for the Genesis, and they changed the name of it. But that was a Fist in the North Star game. The premise of the game, or the story, is it takes place in the not-too-distant future. Nuclear war has taken over the world. The world is in shambles, chaos, and mankind has reverted back to savagery. It's basically like Mad Max, but it's kind of like Mad Max, where everybody fights each other using kung fu and magic abilities.
Exploding kung fu. Yeah.
Yes, quite explosive.
Because I played that game before I gave it to you, and I literally all I did was run around and kick people and watch them explode.
Yeah, it's the pressure points.
If I could kick somebody and make them explode, dude, I would walk through the mall every day.
Yeah, Kenshiro, the lead character, he's this somber, like, he's one of those guys who believes in justice, and he will destroy corruption every one exploding head at a time, if you will.
Boom, headshot. And,
this game is quite manly. All the characters... All the characters are, like, drinking steroids.
Can't you, like, grow a beard instantly? Instant beard growth. They're so manly, they just, like, quench, and they grow a beard.
Yeah, they grow man beards.
It's like those Play-Doh fun factories, they just squeeze really hard. And...
Yeah. But, Kenshiro knows every pressure point in the human body, and he exploits that. On a mystical level. I love it how the bad guys, he'll run up to him, attack him, the bad guy would be like, you have not defeated me! And then Kenshiro would be like, but you're already dead. And then the guy would be like, what? What are you talking about? And then his head starts getting bigger and bigger, and then his head just explodes. It's fantastic. But it's really, really, really cool. However, gameplay-wise, it kind of feels like you're, like, walking through a swamp when you're playing this game. It feels like you should be able to run faster. This is like a Dynasty Warriors game with kung fu.
Oh man, I've already turned off then.
Yeah, it's you're fighting legions of bad guys at the same time, and when you get knocked down, it takes you about 2 minutes to get not 2 minutes, 2 seconds. It takes about 2 seconds to get back up.
It takes me like 5 minutes to get back up if somebody knocks me down.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like Dynasty Warriors with kung fu. Lots of special moves, pyrotechnics, Kenshiro, he's kind of his martial arts is mystical, so he can attack multiple people at the same time, A lot of times he has this glowing blue aura around him. I've done this one move where I basically threw my punches. I don't know how he throws his punches, but he just like goes, he's like beating up like
what
like
the
30
fuck?
Guys at the same time. Like literally 30 guys are like, oh, they're like getting punched all in place. And then after I was through all 30 guys, their heads inflate. Like I'm talking their heads get about as big as the rest of their body. And literally their bodies start floating like hot air balloons right before all of them explode. even though this game, the gameplay itself is like not that good, it does have some charm to it, I guess, if that's really worth anything. I like the property of Fist of the North Star better than the property of Naruto. However, I just wished that Fist of the North Star actually was as good of a game as Naruto. But unfortunately, it's, I mean, if I wanted to build it up, I would say it was an average game. But, if you're into the property, you might be interested in this game. I do know that the domestic version is actually slightly improved over the Japanese version. The domestic U.S. release actually has more blood, and I guess the textures are higher resolution. So, in other words, the Japanese version probably looked like a PS2 game in comparison.
Well then.
But I will also be reviewing Fist of the North Star, so look for that this week.
Yeah, it's due today.
Today.
And you open the case again. So what else are you playing?
The next game that I opened the case to, I just can't stop myself. Ease, the Oath of Fel'Ghana for PSP.
PSP.
This game is really cool. It is like a over the head. I'll rewind that. The basis of Ease is that it's like a top down Zelda role playing game. Ease Oath of Fel'Ghana that has just been released is actually a remake of Ease 3, which this is the most extensive remake of a video game ever. Not only are the graphics improved, the entire gameplay, the entire game is completely different. In that, the original version was a 2D side-scroller. Much like Zelda 2. If any of our listeners remember the second Zelda game for the original Nintendo,
I tried to block it out.
Yeah, how it's basically the black sheep of the entire series.
Really? Really? The CDI versions aren't?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, Zelda 2 is good compared to those games.
Well, thing is, to me,
Zelda 2 is not that bad of a game, fellas. I hate to tell you this.
The CDI games don't even exist. I'm talking about Zelda proper.
Zelda Prime.
Yeah, Zelda Prime. I kind of agree with you, Drew. Zelda 2 is not that bad. But it is kind of looked at as the black sheep, only because the gameplay is completely different than any of the other Zeldas. But
yeah.
Ease 3, which was released for the TurboGrafx CD engine and PC engine in Japan, but in the U.S. it got a release on the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
Sega!
It was originally a 2D side-scroller that still had RPG elements. You would gain experience points. You would use magic And it was very story driven. And now for PSP, the Oath of Fel'Ghana, I guess they just wanted to drop the three, the Roman numeral three, because really you don't have to play any of the other Ys games. It's kind of like Zelda, where each game has its own self-contained universe, even though it's basically the same story repeatedly, but in different contexts. This is the most extensive remake ever because it is now a top-down view RPG, action RPG, much like the rest of the Ys series. So in other words, this game is no longer the black sheep of the entire Ys legacy. It is absolutely beautiful on the PSP screen. The Ys series is known for great game music. The developer Falcom, as a matter of fact, about half of their profits over the past couple decades has been attributed to the soundtracks to the Ys series. So they make a lot of their money off just the music of the games. And what's interesting is that this game actually enables you to select from three different versions of the soundtrack, which is really freaking awesome. You can select the default soundtrack is the new orchestral version of the soundtrack, but then you could also select from because this game was also released on Japanese computers, and the other two soundtracks are two other computer versions of the game, and I picked the 64K version of the soundtrack because even though the orchestral soundtrack is good, there's just something about that old time sound. I picked the one from like the early 90s. It's got this really cool synthesizer music. And then there's one that sounds even older, like if it was made in the mid 80s. Which is okay, but I like the early 90s version better. But I mean I think it's fantastic that they've included three versions of the soundtrack that you can actually change in the middle. You just go into the option menu and in the middle of the game, and you can switch between the three soundtracks. However, I have not really played much of this game yet. I'm probably about almost an hour into it, which means I've played it for probably about 15 minutes. Because it's got a pretty long introduction story. It's really, really cool. If you're into like Zelda, overhead Zelda games, or action RPGs like maybe Secret of Mana, I would suggest you pick up any of the Ys games, because they also have Ys 7 as well, and that is also a really fantastic game. So they're also re-releasing Ys Book 1 and 2, which are the first two games in the series. They're releasing that I think in January, which is kind of weird because they're actually releasing the games backwards. Which is kind of weird, but it's really good. By the way, Ys is spelled YS. If you wanted to look it up on the internet.
All right.
So that's my Fondling this week. Future Fondling, more Fist of North Star, more Ys, and probably more Dragon Quest, because I haven't touched that this past week.
Excellent. So now I'm going to move on to Mr. Frustrated Fury. What's up?
Nothing. But I have played a lot of games.
All right.
Let's see here. I'll just start with what I've reviewed, which I reviewed a crap ton. played Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi Tag Team. We're sticking on the anime thing here. And let's see, I played it like back in the day. Like I said in my review, I used to be a Dragon Ball Z fan, and I played a few of the PlayStation 2 games that came out. I personally liked the Dragon Ball Z Budokai series. When they went to Tenkaichi, it turned away from fighting game and developed this like hybrid over the shoulder camera kind of thing, and I really didn't like it. And they kept it in this one as well. It's on the PSP. The graphics are nice for the PSP. They got the whole cell shaded thing, and I actually picked up one of the cables, like the AV cables for the PSP, so you can watch it on television. And looks pretty nice, but that's about as far as it goes. The gameplay is just. All right, so here's the deal. So everybody knows, if you've seen Dragon Ball Z for like, if you just watched one episode of Dragon Ball Z, you've seen them stand around and power up and scream, because that's what they do in most of those shows. So in order to succeed in this game, you have to power up. So if you power up all the way, you can overcharge your power meter. If you overcharge your power meter, you are able to do this like infinite loop of punches and kicks. Like normally if you go up to a guy and punch him, it's punch, 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 kick, and it knocks him back. And then you have to go up close to him again and punch him again. But if you're overcharged, he doesn't ever kick him. So it's just punch, 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 and you just constantly get him in this loop of just tearing his ass up. And that's all you have to do. Like, there's no need to use, like, the Kamehameha. There's no need to use anything. All you have to do is overcharge your power meter and just wail on them until they die. I mean, I did that with every fight. It was just way too easy. The gameplay is just... The AI is just too easy. But it's still... I mean, it's long. I mean, it spans the entire Dragon Ball Z series, which is 291 episodes. So, it's a crap ton. I mean, it's long. It's a long game. And the only redeeming factor for it, like I said, was the multiplayer, because it has ad hoc with up to four people. And when you have somebody else you're fighting against knowing what they're doing instead of that broken AI... then it actually becomes kind of challenging, and it actually becomes kind of fun. So the only way I suggest it, if you're a really big Dragon Ball Z fan, or if you're a big Dragon Ball Z fan and you have a PSP and you have a buddy who's also a Dragon Ball Z fan and they want to play together, because seriously, if you're not any of those, then you're not going to like this game at all.
That's a lot of variables.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Also played a little bit more DJ Hero 2. I wrote the review for that as well. That game is awesome. I mean, that's all I can say, really. They improved it tenfold. They made it very accessible. The tutorial's fantastic. And they do a really, really good job of letting the player make music. Even with just using the freestyle modes and stuff like that, where you can make your own samples and you can hit buttons in a certain order that you want to. But I really, really do like that game, and to be honest with you, that's really the only rhythm action game I can play nowadays. Rock Band has become stale to me. I played Rock Band 3 as well. My roommate got it, and I just think that's Rock Band. I mean, I don't think there's a big difference. I mean, Ken, I know you played it, but
It's mostly, and I said this in my review, it's really more like they streamlined it to where, it's easier to get to the songs you've downloaded, it's easier to pick the songs you want to play. I do really like the new rating system, like where after you finish a song you can rate it, so when you play random, it kind of picks the songs that you like more. So yeah, it feels like a giant patch with a track pack, unless you have the new instruments, obviously.
Yeah, and so yeah. Me personally, I think even with the new instruments, it's the same formula.
Yeah.
I was done with that after Rock Band. I'm just waiting on when the fact that are all these where the matching game's going to finally die.
Well,
it's got to be close.
Yeah, I was predicting that it would happen this year, but we'll see how Rock Band sells. Guitar Hero didn't sell well, as good as it was. It didn't sell well, so we'll see how Rock Band sells.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard today that in the UK anyway, Rock Band has sold less than 8,000 units.
No, it doesn't surprise me. It really doesn't.
Wow. I figured it'd do at least, 50.
Well, that's the thing. Guitar Hero sold, 80,000? And that's a huge disappointment because this is a series that used to sell, million. So, people are tired of buying plastic instruments. People are tired of having to pay for, especially since all these companies have promised that, hey, we have a platform. You just download the songs. It's kind of like iTunes, but they keep releasing disc-based games.
Bullshit. DJ Hero 2 is a fantastic example. No transferring any of your songs. And they have 5 DLC tracks.
Yeah.
In a whole year of that game being out, they released 5 DLC tracks.
And I don't understand that, because that game is really popular among people who like that kind of stuff. I mean, it was the first breath of fresh air that the genre's had in ages.
Yeah. Like I said, that's the only rhythm action game I can play, but I don't know. That's here, neither here nor there. I like DJ Hero. That's about as far as it goes anymore. But DJ Hero 2 is I'd say it's much of an improvement, more of an improvement than it was from Rock Band 2 to Rock Band 3.
Well, here's the $1 million question: if they release DJ Hero 3 next year, will you buy it?
I think it would honestly depend on 2 things. 1, if they will finally allow me to transfer my songs from from DJ Hero 1 and 2 to 3, and 2, the song selection for the third game. Because right now they got the formula down pretty much pat. To be honest with you, they could do away with that microphone crap because it's stupid. Like, you can't sing for some reason because, if I'm scratching, I'm going to be fucking up the guy singing because I'm, I'm going, and he won't be able to sing whatever I'm scratching,
Yeah.
So, that's a good question. I think that's all it boils down to is what song is going to be on it, and is it songs I want to play, and if I can transfer my songs. It could very well be. See, the reason why I got DJ Hero 2, to be honest with you, is because I have the freaking peripheral. And I said, well, I don't want to just let that peripheral go to waste. So I might as well pick up DJ Hero 2, because I know I'm going to play it, And I'm playing it right now, I'm playing it. I think I'll play it for probably another month, on and off. But that's a good question. I don't know. Are they going to release a DJ Hero 3?
Oh,
that's
it's Activision. Come on.
Hey, do you think there'll be another Guitar Hero after the sales?
Yeah. I really do. I know they've already, and we'll get to this in news, but they've already announced the new Spider-Man, X-Men, and Transformers for next year.
Huh.
Seriously?
Yep, they announced them. Well, obviously we all knew the X-Men, which I don't believe that'll be out next year because it's being made by Silicon Knights, so I expect that in 2012 or 2013.
Yeah. 2020.
Yeah, Spider-Man will be licensed out to one of Activision's internal developers, and honestly, they've done a good job so far, so I don't see a problem with that. But yeah, I expect a Guitar Hero, a Call of Duty, and a DJ Hero to be announced probably in February, March.
I guess we'll find out. But other than that, I played 2 other games for... Well, I played 3 other games for review, but I played Shank on the PC. I didn't really care about Shank when it came out on the 360 and the PS3 because it reminded me a lot of The Dishwasher, and I fucking hated The Dishwasher because that game controlled like ass.
Yeah, it had some issues.
But you take The Dishwasher and add a lot more variety to it and then have controls that actually work, and that's what you have Shank, because Shank is freaking awesome.
Yeah, I love that game. That was so much fun.
The art style was what really made it for me. I think if they were to make like a television show or a movie about Shank, I'd totally watch it because the presentation's fantastic. The The action is really cool. The cutscenes, even though they're kind of cheesy, they're actually kind of enjoyable and they're interesting. And I think they did a fantastic job with that game, and I don't even think it sold very well. I think it fell under everybody's radar. But it's really good, even for the PC. Thing is, when you boot it up on the PC, it says, hey, if you want the best Shank experience, you might want to plug in a 360 controller. So that's what I did. I have come to the conclusion I can't use a mouse and keyboard for crap. And so, but Shank's really cool. I really do like it. my review should be up sometime this week. I don't know when, but...
Oh, yeah, it's going to be blow out the wall this week with reviews. I've got so much crap sitting in my inbox.
But also for review, on the PC as well, I played Deathspank. Same guys, Pothead Games, same guys who made the Penny Arcade games. It's okay. It's a series of fetch quests. That's all that game is.
Yeah.
And that is annoying to me. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I can play some games that have some fetch quests, or I can play a game that's just, it's just all, that's all it is, but I must just not be in the mood for one right now or something like that, but it's just monotonous. Like, you go, all right, so that's basically what it is. When you pull up your quest thing, it's like, you need 10 of these, 20 of these, you need to go check out this, get this key, but in order to get that key, you got to go collect 20 of these and 5 of these, and it's just, that's all it is. And the combat's cool. I think, you know, you can have, you have four weapons, and they're all mapped on the Xbox controller, because I use the Xbox controller, obviously. And, you know, you can equip different weapons, and they all have different stats. It's a loot-getting game, but I don't know. It's like, he moves so slow, and it's just, I don't know what it is about it. It's just, it has humor, or at least tries to have some humor. I think it tries a little bit too hard at times, but I don't know. Like, it's okay. Like, seriously, this is not one of those games where you can just sit down and plow through. Like, you can play probably about 10, 15 minutes and then stop for the day. Because if you try to do what I did and play about 5 hours of it in one sitting, you will pull your hair out. As I was sitting there like, my God! I was like, I'm going to walk up to this guy. If this guy tells me to go collect something for him, I'm going to fucking kill him. He's like, hurry! I need you to go kill some spiders and get their eyeballs for me. Motherfucker. I was like, God, it's a long game. I didn't think it was going to be that long. I feel like, 4 hours or whatever. It's about the same as length as Shank. No, this game's like freaking 8 hours almost. I'm like, damn, this is a full-on, like, real game.
Because it's padded by fetch quest.
Exactly, that's all it is. Like, you know how Gambus, you were saying in Naruto, they give you fetch quests to make the game length longer? That's all this game is. That's all it is.
That's sucky.
Yeah, it is sucky. But, I mean, still, it's a good game. I mean, it's fun combat, and, you know, you're always getting loot, and, like, the loot guys would love to play this game because it's, you know, that's all you're doing is getting better stuff. But, review should be up later this week. I'm going to write it probably tomorrow. Today, which is Monday. But the big game I played, well, there's two big games I played, but the big game I played that I wrote for my review for is Fallout New Vegas.
I know John's going to chime in.
Yeah.
I'm sitting playing it right now.
That's why he's not talking.
Yeah, you may be crap ton, John, but the experience, oh man, where do I start talking about Fallout? Okay, so Fallout New Vegas is Fallout 3, but with a better story and better presentation, but with also 10 times as many bugs.
I'm not going to disagree, to be fair.
The game is super glitchy. I'd walk into a place and NPCs would just shoot me for no apparent reason. They would give me no warning whatsoever. They wouldn't even say anything. It was just like the action music would start, and then I start getting shot. And I lost my companion at one time. I fast traveled, and she wasn't there anymore. And I didn't know where the hell to find her. And I never found her. But it still said she was in my party. So I still got her perk. So I said, fuck it. So I never got her. She's gone forever.
I do like how you still gain XP even when one of your companions does all the killing.
Yeah, that's the thing that pissed me off, because I got this girl named Cassidy. She's like this freaking like gung-ho cowgirl with a shotgun. And if you do her mission, like her quest, she gets this perk where like it doubles her attack power with shotguns. And it literally takes two shots to kill everything, like even boss characters. So I just like, I'd run into a room and then run back out, and then Cassie go in there with her shotgun and kill everything. And then she disappears on my ass, and now I can't find her. I'm like, great, now I've actually got to work for my shit. So, but the biggest bug I found, and I experienced this the day before I wrote my review, because I want to say I was kind of close to beating the game. I was about 38 hours into the game. The whole main hub of the Fallout New Vegas is the New Vegas Strip. And where most of your main quests are, main story quests, are in that strip. You have to go talk to a guy. And so I did a bunch of missions outside of the New Vegas Strip. I was coming back to turn in a couple of quests. And when I got to the gate to the New Vegas Strip, it says it's locked and requires a key. I have never needed a key for that gate. I don't know where a key is. I checked online. They say it's a glitch. They say it's been happening to a lot of players out there. And they say the only way you can get a key is by killing one of the security bots that's standing outside the gate. And so but the bad thing is, if I attack one of those security bots, the other bots are going to shoot me and freaking kill me because they're badasses. So I've tried killing the bots. They get pissed at me and shoot me. I die. So, and I'm trapped out of the New Vegas Strip, so I can't turn in any of my main story quests. So I'm screwed. I have to restart the friggin' game.
Oh, and I wonder why I don't play this shit.
And so I was like, yeah, I'll deal with Fallout New Vegas. And I'm probably not going to go back to it for about a year or so. Because, seriously, that pissed me the hell off. When I'm almost 40 hours into a game, and I get a glitch to where I can't beat it. No. Obsidian can kiss my ass.
I can understand why you'd be frustrated, to be fair. I've been quite lucky so far. The only glitches I've had have been, silly, clipping and funny angles where your gun's pointed in the wrong direction or something daft. I've not actually encountered game-breaking stuff yet.
Oh, just give it time.
Oh, God, no. There was this part where I was doing a mission or a quest, and I had to go talk to a person and then go talk to another person who was, like, at another city. So when I go talk to that person that says, okay, I'm going to go come and talk to that guy that you sent me to, I'm like, okay. So I fast travel to that person because it says go meet up with both of them when they get there. I'm like, okay. So I fast travel there. Well, NPCs can't fast travel. So I fast traveled to my destination, and that person's not there. They're still walking from the city to where I'm at right now. And I sat there for 20 minutes waiting on this person to get there. They never showed up. So I was like, where the fuck are they? So I looked on my map where they are. They're in the middle of the freaking Mojave Desert. I go out to where they are in the location. Literally, the person is running full speed into a wall. They're stuck. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So I had to reload my save and do that crap. And it's just small things like that. I mean, like Cassidy. Like, that's the thing about it. Your companions are awesome, but they can also be burdens, too. Because they don't ask fucking questions. Like, so I walk up to a band of people, and they're not enemies. I mean, I can still talk to them, but they're still technically enemies. But I want to go talk to them. No, that don't work. because when Cassie gets in the range of them, she pulls out a devastating shotgun and shoots them in the face. And I'm like, I was going to talk to them, but I guess not. It's like the bullets do the talking for me. But the one thing I have to say, and I said it in my review, because I'm so torn whenever I wrote this review. It's like 5 pages. I'm trying to figure out what to say about this game. I think that New Vegas still has that Fallout feel. It has this epic scale. It has a great story. And I think it's put best. It would be better than Fallout 3 if it weren't for the game-breaking glitches in it. And I say to people out there, if you're a fan of Fallout, go ahead and pick it up. But you need to know what you're getting yourself into whenever you play this game. You need to save every 5 seconds. Because you're going to experience something like, I don't know, a freaking nuclear bomb will come out of nowhere and just hit you in the face. And that wasn't supposed to happen. Some Obsidian left it in there. That it was an accident or some bullshit like that. So, I don't know. Wayne Newton's awesome, though.
Oh, his radio station's great, isn't it?
Yeah, he literally, this is what it sounds like they did. It sounds like they got Wayne Newton, sat him in a recording studio, gave him a bunch of lines and a bottle of whiskey, and said, go at it. Because this dude sounds fucking shit-faced.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He's like, I can't do his voice, but it's just so funny. He's like, it was time for the news. The NCR and Legion had a standoff today at the Mojave rest stop. And here's Frank Sinatra. That's what it sounds like.
That so, game's charm carries it a very long way.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's like, I play it and I'm like, when I'm playing that game, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'm like, what the fuck was that? You know, just something happened. People started like fucking moonwalking like across the strip or something.
Oh,
I don't know. Fallout, whatever. It's cool. I mean, you just like, if anybody out there who has not bought it and is thinking about buying it, there's a lot of glitches in that game, but there's still a lot of fun to be had. I'll just put it that way. And the last game that I played wasn't for review. This is my personal gaming. Hey, guess what? Every single game that I've talked about is for a review. My personal gaming is Dragon Age Origins. Huh. Holy crap. How did I miss this game when it first came out?
Everybody was telling you that when you were talking about buying it. Like, why have you not played this?
I don't know. Because, I don't know, it just didn't seem like my kind of game. Like, yeah, I'm somewhat of a fan of Mass Effect, but I'm not really, oh my god, Mass Effect, I can't wait. So, I don't know. I picked it up, I got the Ultimate Edition. The bad thing about, the only thing that pisses me off about the Ultimate Edition, I got it for the PS3. I figured, you know, it's Blu-ray. They can put all that on the disc, whatever. No, you still have to install every piece of downloadable content from the disc to your hard drive. And that took an hour and a half. And I'm like, what the hell? But anyway, started up. It's fantastic. I mean, I really like it. I mean, is it just me, or does it seem like, I don't know, you guys probably played it on the 360, but it seems like the game is kind of slow moving. Like, acts like the frame rate drops because there's too much going on.
Oh yeah, that happens on all the versions. I've heard the PS3 is the worst, but it happens on all of them, and that's kind of typical of BioWare games. That's kind of their trademark, is like, when the combat gets crazy, the frame rate's going to go boo.
Yeah. But you know what? I have to go back, because that's one other thing that I do have to mention about Fallout, is that it seems like the longer you play the game, the worse the lag gets for everything. So, say I'm in a firefight with a guy, and I'm about to die. Well, in order for you to heal yourself, you have to pull up your Pip-Boy. So you hit B button to pull up your Pip-Boy. I hit the B button, and nothing happens. I just stand there. And then about 2 to 2.5 seconds later, my Pip-Boy comes up. There is a delay in every single thing that you do later on in the game. I don't know why. But the bad thing is, if you're about to die and you need to heal right away, those 2 seconds that you're waiting for your pit boy to pop up, you're getting the shit shot out of you. So you can possibly die waiting for your pit boy to pop up. And it's the same way with going into VATS. Like, I hit the VATS button, and it takes, like, 2 seconds for you. Like, you sit there for 2 seconds before you go into the animation to pull your gun out. And I'm like, what the hell? And there's a lot of times where I had to restart, like, from my last save because of that stupid delay, because I got shot and died. But, anyway, back to Dragon Age. Dragon Age, it's awesome. I mean, it has more options as far as dialogue choices goes than Mass Effect. Like, you can say, when somebody says, how are you doing today? Like, 50 million responses pop up. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't want to be an asshole, but I don't want to be too nice. So, it's really awesome. I mean, like, there's so many options you can do. And, like, the bad thing is, I don't really know if I'm about to do something that's going to, like, affect my entire game. You know, like I was talking to you earlier, Ken, about, like, letting Morgan go into the Fade or whatever. I was like, is this going to kill her, or is something bad going to happen?
There's one really, 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 really big decision towards the end of the game.
Okay.
And it basically will allow you to end it one way or the other.
Gotcha. So, is there penalties for being an asshole?
Oh yeah, there's always penalties. You'll miss out on certain quests, and you won't get certain items. Certain people won't join your party. I mean, there's always consequences for everything you do in the game.
Yeah, I find that's kind of crazy too, because I've already got, like, God, I've got so many people in my party. I've got, like, me, Alistair, the dog, Morgan, that one chick who sounds really bad voice acting wise, that redheaded chick who
Leliana.
Sings. My God, that woman sounds like she's reading off of a freaking napkin or something. And I got this really tall dude, Sten or something like that. And like I'm like, and it feels like I've just started the game, you know.
Oh yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, see, I did the first, like, after you become a Grey Warden or whatever, you go to the little village. It has all the refugees in it. And then after I left that village, I went to one other place. And I'm like, man, this is like my second place I've been to, and I'm already like 10 hours into the game. So this game is freaking huge. And that's not including any of the DLC that I got that come with the game.
Oh, yeah. Like, Awakenings is at least 10 if you rush through, about 20 if you do all the quests.
Jesus Christ. Man, that's... I don't know if I'm ever going to finish another game.
Yeah, it's a long one.
You may have beat me this year, Ken, because seriously, I don't think I'm going to be playing any other games except for Dragon Age, because I'm freaking addicted to it now.
Yeah, but that's worth losing over. That game is so good. I wish I could experience it again. I'm dying for the second one.
Now, are they going to let you, like, transfer your character over and stuff?
It's kind of weird, because the character in the new game is completely different than your character in the first game.
Okay.
So it's not going to be a transfer.
Hmm. Well, I'll keep it just in case. But yeah. Dragon Age, that's pretty much it. Future finally goes more Dragon Age, obviously. I'm not. Yeah, I might as well put Fallout back in the case and put it on the shelf. I mean, I hate to say that, but I mean, it ruined it for me. I mean, I'm not going to restart my game. There was a game-breaking glitch in my roommate's Fable 3. He can't finish the quest now, so he can't continue the game.
That sucks. That was a great game.
Yeah, he's about 21 hours into that game. So, he's got to restart, too.
Ugh.
But, other than that, I really want to get back into Monster Hunter for some reason. Monster Hunter Freedom Unite on the PSP. I need to play. What I need to do is play Kingdom Hearts, because I got Kingdom Hearts on the PSP and I've put like maybe 30 minutes into it. So, and I need to make a decision. I've got this huge laundry list of games I need to finish, and they just keep piling and piling and piling. Freaking Need for Speed comes out next week, doesn't it?
Yeah. The what is it?
This. 5%.
Yeah, 17th, I think, 16th or 17th.
Yeah. Oh man, crazy.
Yeah, tell me about it.
That's that. That's it for me, though.
All right, so we're going to move on to Mr. Whitehouse, who I know was also playing some interesting stuff this week.
Well, yes, of course, always interesting. Okay, well, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, sorry, Freudian slip there. Yeah, I'm not going to go on to it too much, because obviously Drew's gone over the... the high and low points of that game, but yeah, it's got a lot of charm, and hopefully they'll do some patching and clear up some of those major bugs. It's never going to be perfect, but then again, neither was the original or Oblivion. They've always been glitchy games, no matter how many times they've been patched, but it's still a great game. I've been playing some of the Killzone 3 multiplayer beta, which, if you're a fan of Killzone 2 multiplayer, you're probably not going to go too far wrong. It plays exactly the same. It doesn't feel very different at all, to be fair. I mean, I didn't play a huge amount of Killzone 2, but I played some of the multiplayer because I found it to be a departure from Call of Duty. And, you know, sometimes you have to give that a break, but you still want your shooter fix, and Killzone 2 was good for that. There are some issues with it. There are bugs because it is a beta. One of the most frustrating is seeing somebody in the distance with a little green name over their heads, only to find out they're shooting at you, and then suddenly that name goes red. And you realise that they're an enemy, but by that point you've had about 6 bullets in your head and you're respawning somewhere. So that's probably the biggest issue that I've found and come across. But it's fine. I don't know how long the beta is going to go on for, but I think they put out a new load of invites today, so I should imagine it's got a week or so left of it. And I'll give that some more playing, and before I write the hands-on that I'm going to be doing. Also played some Pinball FX2, which is for review. And I've never played a pinball game before, so I was quite impressed.
It's a fun little diversion to throw in every now and then.
It is. It's definitely a diversion. The codes that we got obviously were for the game, which is free, and then for a couple of the packs, the classic pack, which I believe is 4 tables from the original game, FX, the first one, and then there's this other pack that has got, I think, are they 4 new tables on there?
Yeah, I think it had 4 tables, and there's still, like, if you go into the menu, there's just, like, tons and tons of tables.
There are, and I was having a look, and, I mean, they've got a Street Fighter table there, which is pretty cool, but they're free to trial, like, one go, but they're 200 Microsoft points a pop, and so I think there's 8 that are greyed out, which obviously are there for DLC, and then there's another 2 empty boxes, so probably some more's coming as well. And if you get all of them, it'll probably be quite pricey. But with the 8 tables that I've been playing, it's been a great little, as you say, a diversion. It feels good. I mean, I don't know how pinball games normally hold up, because obviously the physics is a big issue with these games, but it feels good. It feels like it's got a weight to it. The ball feels right. It goes the way you think it would go. It can be a bit frustrating at times, especially because some of the tables are quite complicated, and you have the dot display in the top left corner, and you can't really see what that says while trying to keep your eye on the ball. And so it can be a bit confusing. But it's a good fun game, and the only other issue I've got with it is it makes your fingers hurt, because you're constantly tapping either the right or left bumpers to obviously trigger the flippers, and that does get a bit sore sometimes. Not that I'm complaining that I ever get a sore hand or anything, but my review should be up next week. Look forward to that. The one of the other games I played is The Sims 3 on console. That's actually really good. I'm very surprised. I was a bit dubious after the last attempts, because Sims 2 especially on the PlayStation 2 I just couldn't get on with. And what they've done this time round is they have taken the PC game and done their best to convert it as it is, but with the controls for a console, and it's pretty slick, to be fair. Loading can be a bit of a hassle. Every time you travel to another area, you have to load, obviously, up another screen, and that can take anywhere between 10 and 30 seconds. But I have found that by installing it to the 360, it does shave a little bit of time off that. So everything's there. I mean, as you expect for the Sims game, it's all good fun, some nice little humour. It's the controls are the best I've seen on that sort of game on a console. They really have streamlined it to play to the console controller's strengths. So I think if you're a fan of the Sims and haven't got a PC powerful enough to play The Sims 3 on it, I think a console version now is a viable option for you. And then finally, the game that I've had probably the most fun with, where I wasn't expecting to, is Bloodstone, the 007 game.
Oh.
And with the exception of, I suppose with the exception of Quantum of Solace, which was okay, there's not really been a decent Bond game since, well, I think the last good one I played was Everything or Nothing on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, that was the last one I really enjoyed.
I mean, that Agent Under Fire GoldenEye was absolute. Was it Agent? No, Rogue Agent, wasn't it?
Rogue
something.
Agent.
Yeah.
Rogue Agent, that was it. That was piss poor. And, you know, they also, didn't they have a Bond racing game?
Yes, 007 Racing on the PlayStation 1, I think.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah, it's been a while.
That was terrible.
Which one was Nightfire? Was there one called Nightfire?
There was. That was quite good. That was before Everything or Nothing. And I enjoyed that one, because that was a first-person shooter as well. They'd done okay with that. But but Bloodstone is a third-person cover-based a shooter with driving levels split up in between the game to sort of break it up a little bit. The combat itself is very, I'm going to probably hype it up more than I should. It's very Uncharted. It's got an Uncharted feel to it. It's not as slick. It's very, very easy to pop out a headshot from cover, which makes it quite an easy game to get through. The driving sections, I think, are quite well done.
Well, it is Bizarre Creations.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's bizarre, so it should, they should be. But that they can get frustrating. I've found a couple of times I had to go through that. There's a level at the beginning where you're piloting a boat, and that got quite confusing, because the map was a bit crowded and you had to follow you're chasing another boat and you have to follow it to the T, or it will just, you know, you die, which is a bit odd. You crash into something and they say, oh, you're dead, start again. But it still felt good. The driving feels okay.
Well, you haven't even experienced the worst one yet.
Is that the ice one?
Yes.
I've heard about that.
Oh my god. And there's an achievement for beating it without ever letting off the gas. Yeah, I think I would pull my hair out if I tried to get that achievement. I fell into the water at least 20 times. Oh my god.
It does have its moments. But I think, I mean, I'm a massive, massive James Bond nerd, and you know, I did kind of enjoy Quantum of Solace. Treyarch done an okay job with that. It felt okay as a first-person shooter. But with this one, I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, the game's out. There was meant to be a film out with it, because that's the whole plan, but that got canned, and so obviously Activision have had to come along and create their own story. And from what I've played of the story, it seems your average James Bond game story. The voice acting seems okay. It's more fun than it should be. It's more than the sum of its parts. And one of the reasons why I say that is the multiplayer, which is terrible, but very, very good at the same time. It's really odd. I didn't even know the game had multiplayer until I loaded up the game, and it's there on the front screen. And I thought, oh, okay. I played a bit of the game and then thought, well, I'll give the multiplayer a go. And the multiplayer is that bad. Everybody on it sucks, which means you are on an even playing field. Unlike COD, where you go on there and you're on the map for about 5 seconds, you can get a headshot, and then you respawn, and then you get another headshot, and then you respawn. This, everyone's really bad at it, which means you are doing just as well as everybody else. No one's got an advantage, and that makes it strangely compelling. And I've played a good couple of hours on the multiplayer. And I mean, to be fair, in a couple of months, no one's going to be on it. But it's odd. You shouldn't enjoy it. The multiplayer, I mean, if you go on and look at Uncharted 2, that's how you do a third-person cover-based multiplayer. This is how you don't do it. But it's still so much fun because you're getting the kills in. And that's what it's about. I mean, it's fine if I get killed 10 times in a level, but I want to get a couple of shots in between. And certain games don't allow you to do that because you have to be hardcore to do it. Whereas this, you don't. I mean, I was pulling out 8, 10 shots in a match. And I'm thinking, fuck yes. And so you play again. And it's really, really odd. So, I mean, to be fair, if you're not a James Bond fan, you're probably not going to want to go and get it. It is better for those that enjoy James Bond and get a kick out of that sort of thing. The game itself isn't fantastic. It's good. It's certainly not a balls up sort of in any sense of the word. But with all the other games out there that have just come out and are about to come out, is probably going to get lost a bit. So I don't imagine it will sell very well, but you'll probably be able to pick it up quite cheap in the next couple of weeks, or maybe just after Christmas. And I certainly recommend that if you enjoy a good third person shooter, you could do a lot worse. And that's about all I've played.
And well, this week,
Future finally.
Yes, Future.
Oh, sorry. So, miles away. I'm not even playing the game. I suppose what everyone else will be playing a lot of next week, and that will be Black Ops, providing that the place I ordered it from sends it to me on time, because I've been recently hearing a few horror stories that they're normally a couple of weeks late, at which point I will cry and have to go out and buy it twice. So I'm looking forward to that, because I'm getting on the PlayStation 3, and I don't want to slag anybody off. Xbox online players are far too aggressive for me. So I'm going to get it on the play.
The only reason why they're more aggressive is because they have mics. Not everybody has a mic on PS3.
That's absolutely fine with me. Modern Warfare 2, there was a marked difference between how I was performing on the PS3 against how I was performing against the players on the Xbox, and they're a lot better on the Xbox, so I'm plumping for the PS3, just solely because I want to stand a fighting chance. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll probably play a bit more Bloodstone, a bit more Fallout New Vegas, and I will probably play a bit more of Pinball FX. I can't envisage there being any big games after Tuesday, because you've got over here you've got Call of Duty on the Tuesday and then Kinect on the Wednesday. The only thing that I think that's probably going to take up the rest of my year, to be fair.
Wow. This just goes to show you how much I care about Call of Duty. I didn't even know it was coming out next week.
Oh, snap. Oh, dear. Well, you'll know about it if you're on Twitter at any point.
Oh, of course. And I can't wait. And I'll be like, guess what? I'm playing Dragon Age, bitches. What do you expect that?
They'll call you late to the party.
I don't give a damn. I'll say I'm enjoying
it. I've never played Dragon Age.
You need to play that game.
Yes.
I also don't have like 200 hours to sink into a game.
I don't either, trust me, but I'm doing it anyway.
Fair enough.
I need to get back into Dragon Age.
Oh, man, that was such a good game.
Mm-hmm. With Dragon Age, though, is it a lot like Mass Effect or a lot like Oblivion? How is it a cross between the both?
No, not really. It's the dialogue and comment system is a lot like Mass Effect, but more in depth. But the combat itself reminds me of the old Baldur's Gate PC games.
Oh, I never played those.
So it's all.
Have you ever played World of Warcraft?
God no.
Okay, it plays like an MMO almost, like a single player MMO.
Yeah. It plays a lot like it has some Knights of the Old Republic in it too. If you ever played that.
Oh, I did play Knights of the Old Republic on the Xbox, yeah.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of that.
I did see it the other day, the edition that you're playing, Drew, the collectors, with all of the bits and pieces in it. That might be worth a shot, I think, at some point.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hell of a deal. It's a hell of a deal.
All right. Well, I guess I will go through this. Let me pull up my little list first of other stuff. I played the demo for Bloody Good Time. Expecting to really kind of enjoy it because it's kind of a different take on FPSs, and it's only $5. But after playing it, I don't think I'm going to purchase because it's kind of weird. It's kind of like you're in a TV show and you got to go around and collect these items, and you also have to go to the bathroom and eat.
You eat in the bathroom.
Normal life.
No, not in conjunction. No, these are just things you have to do within the game. Like you will run out of energy if you don't eat. You will start to run slower and take more damage if you have to go to the bathroom and things like that. It's a really interesting concept, but not one I can really get behind. Especially considering there's like 12 people on the leaderboard, and it's a strictly multiplayer game. So, yeah. I also tried out the demo for the Apache game, which I was excited about because how long has it been since we've had a really good like helicopter attack chopper kind of action game? I used to love the Soviet Strike and Nuclear Strike PS1 games, and I was thinking, oh man, this would be like a take back to those. And then I spent, you know, the entire time playing the demo trying to get my helicopter to control because it's so kind of quirky, and in the menu screen it told me that I was playing on arcade, that I could bump it up to realistic controls, and I just said no. So it was okay. I probably might check it out when it comes out, we'll see. But right first impression I was kind of like eh. I also played the Medal of Honor HD version of Frontline on the PS3. That game didn't age all that well. Because I remember when it first came out how awesome it was when you got on the beach of Normandy and like it was so intense. And then I played it now in HD, which its HD is kind of crappy. It just basically makes it widescreen and ups the resolution a little bit. So it's not all that great. Still the same textures and everything. But the second time playing it, I'm running around the beach, I'm like, there's 5 dudes. Because obviously the limitations of the PS2, and I'm like, there's only 5 dudes on the beach. This isn't a very good battle. So, but yeah, it didn't quite age as well as I would have hoped. Like Gambus, I did play Fist of the North Star. That's a crazy game. It is Dynasty Warriors with exploding heads. Not my thing. And for the Wii, I've been playing GoldenEye, which is the big, you know, everybody's all excited. Hey, it's GoldenEye. Which, you know, a lot of people were expecting them to just kind of remake the original, But as I'm sure anybody who's played the original in the last 5 years, that game's not so good right now.
No, not at all.
Again, something that hasn't aged well.
Not at all, and I'm actually happy that they did not do that. It is actually a brand new first-person shooter. The only thing that's weird is seeing Daniel Craig as GoldenEye, you know? Because you just associate Pierce Brosnan.
Come on. I mean, go back and play GoldenEye 64. It was a fucking block that had Pierce Brosnan's face printed on it.
I know. But see, in this one, you know, he actually talks and stuff, and it's like, hey, that's not GoldenEye. GoldenEye has, you know, Pierce Brosnan, not Daniel Craig. But as overall as a whole, it's a really good first-person shooter, and I'm actually excited to get into the multiplayer because, you know, they stuck with a lot of what made the multiplayer great in GoldenEye. And I think it's hilarious, like, Activision sent me the game, and they sent me a t-shirt with it. And anybody who's played the original GoldenEye, which is pretty much everybody for an extended amount of hours, the t-shirt is a picture of Oddjob's hat, and it just says cheater on it. Because if you remember, whenever you'd play multiplayer, everybody wanted to be Oddjob because he was impossible to hit.
So well, you see, because you in order for you to aim, you'd have to stop running and then hold a button down and then aim. And most people, what they do is just run and shoot, and they just hope that they shoot somebody. Well, Oddjob, you couldn't hit because he was too fucking short.
So I thought that was funny, the t-shirt hat, because I think he's in the multiplayer for the Wii version. So, but yeah, it's if you've got a Wii, and I think the greatest thing about this is they don't force you to play with the Wii remote, which I think is awesome. They let you use the, and even the collector's edition comes with a golden classic controller, so you can use the two-stick control, which just makes the game so much better. But it's really, really good. Now, everything else, I did pick up Costume Quest after you guys, like, rant and raved about it, and to be honest with you, I've played it for 10 minutes, and I haven't had a chance to get back into it, but what I did play of it, I really, really did like. So,
awesome.
I think I'm going to have to sit down and play through that. I played Naruto, blah, 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 Storm, whatever thing, and, you know, that's not my kind of game. Didn't enjoy that at all. I played The Sims 2, The Sims 3 for review as well. Very, very good. I was really impressed with what they did with the console version, but like John said, that loading time is awful. You need to install this game.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, but I do like the fact that, like, if you run out of clothing options, you can just download, like, right there in your store or whatever. I thought that was really, really interesting.
I did try a couple of times to go on the store to download a few bits and pieces, and because there are obviously achievements for uploading and stuff like that. And there were some people on there who had created some clothing. I tried to upload, but all it would upload is patterns, which is a bit odd, but I don't know. It's, it's a good little system, because I'm sure they're going to kick stuff onto the marketplace for you to buy to download, but it's quite good that there are people out there making some stuff for free.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the business model of it. I think that's really interesting. So it should get players into it. Just hopefully there's enough console players that actually want it to warrant it. I downloaded the DLC for Hydro Thunder because I love the game, and then realized that the DLC basically slaps you in the face and tells you that you can't use it unless you've earned enough points within the game. Because you got to earn points to unlock new levels, and in order to play the downloaded levels that I just paid $5 for, I have to unlock them in the game, which I absolutely hate that. That's just
cheeky bastards.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
That's
We talked about Force Unleashed 2. I did go back and play a little more of that. I did love it. Like I said, though, beat it in one sitting, so... I played Pinball FX2 as well. I love it. I think it's great. I love all the tables. They make me want to buy the tables, even though it's just another, like, skin. But the Street Fighter table just intrigues me every time I see it. I'm playing Shaun White Skateboarding for review. And before I got it, a lot of people had been telling me that it was like the old Tony Hawk's. No, it's not. It's like if you took the Saboteur and made it a skateboarding game, because, like, every time you do a trick, it puts color to the environment, and it focuses too much on the story. The only interesting aspect of Shaun White Skateboarding is the, like, build-your-own grinds and stuff, but even that's kind of limited. The controls do give you the option to play with the right analog stick or the face buttons, which I've never been a fan of the right analog stick skateboarding. But overall, it just feels really, really just mediocre on every level, which is disappointing because the snowboarding game that they did for him was really, really good. Also for review, I reviewed EA Sports MMA, and I'm really impressed with what EA did here because they did a really excellent control scheme. They took advantage of the fact that they didn't have the UFC license and instead made a really solid playing game. When you first start playing it, it feels slow and sluggish, but once you get used to the control scheme, it's so much better than UFC's. I mean, the game is just super deep, and if you're a fan of the mixed martial arts, I would definitely check it out because it plays great, and hopefully EA, you know, continues to build upon it, and hopefully eventually they'll get, you know, the license so that they can have the rest of the fighters, because that's really its only downfall. One of the coolest things about this game, though, is the online mode, where you can get online and play for titles and stuff. They actually allow online users to do the commentary, which I thought was like one of the most interesting things. I don't want to say that it's actually users that's doing it, but it may be like live people that watch the matches and commentate it as it's happening. So
that's pretty good.
That's actually really awesome. I mean, the online is good even if you're not playing, because you can watch the matches and listen to the announcers like call it play by play, which I thought was really cool.
Wow. That's really innovative, actually.
Yeah, I know. I was really impressed by that. I'm like, damn, that is really cool. That is like the best idea. That'd be like, you know, you get a Madden or a soccer game like FIFA or, you know, The Show, and actually have real live commentators call your game online. I mean, that is brilliant. I also played Haunted House for Xbox Live Arcade, which was a remake of the old Atari 2600 game. And it probably should have just stayed nostalgic because it's not very good. I mean, you just basically go from room to room, light the fireplace, and pick up some treasure and avoid ghosts. And it's...
Can you fight them at least?
No, not really. I mean, you can... No.
A proton pack?
You can kill them, but, you know, it's not with a proton pack, unfortunately. If it was a proton pack, I might actually enjoy it. I did play through Fable 3. I loved it, amazingly enough, even though I didn't like the first two all that much. And I don't know why, because it just felt like it was more streamlined. Like, it was actually, everything was kind of fixed from the first two. I know you were talking about the game-breaking glitch earlier, which I luckily didn't run into.
He did something stupid. He let somebody into his game, one of his friends, and they were doing some kind of quest, and his friend accidentally picked up the quest item and then quit out. Oh. So he couldn't get the quest item.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. And he's like, well, shit. That kind of sucks. But what you mentioned, actually, is like my friend, my roommate, Alan, he's a big RPG player. And he said that he doesn't really like Fable 3 all too much because of the fact that it is more streamlined. He says they've dumbed it down to where anybody can play it, and they took out almost all the RPG elements.
Well, yeah, that might be the case, but, you know, that's going to appeal to a different kind of audience. And truth be told, Fable, the first two, you know... Whoa. What the fuck?
Is there echo in here?
I can hear myself. That's interesting.
I can't.
Anyway, but no, I really like the streamlining because I thought that they took the story more seriously, and I don't know. I really enjoyed the game. I had a lot of fun with it. Yeah, the old Fable players are probably going to be a little ticked about all the stuff that they removed, and, you know, especially like the pause menu that doesn't exist because you just go back to the little hub area, which somebody had a really good comment about that, you know, the pause menu, instead of now being a set of menus, it was actually you walking around the pause menu, which is what it kind of feels like. So, I mean, I really enjoyed it, but, you know, I wasn't a fan of the first two, so, you know, my say might not mean as much as somebody who played the first two.
No.
I'm playing 3D Ultra Mini Golf 2 for a review. I love the first one. I absolutely adored it. I played the crap out of it. One of the first arcade games I got the full 200 points in. The second one, It doesn't feel as inspired, unfortunately. You can play as your avatar, which is pretty cool, but the courses just feel like they're forcing it, so that's kind of disappointing to me. I do like that you can make your own courses now, but I haven't really toyed around with that to see how in-depth it is. I'm playing through Saw 2 for review. I am one of the five people who love the first one because I love the movies and I love the story. Yes, the game is not all that great. It doesn't play that well. It doesn't control that well. You know, the graphics are kind of crappy. But I love the puzzles. I love the fact that it's not, you know, just another action game. And in fact, all of the action has been removed from this one. All of your combat is now quick time events. You don't actually fight anybody. Which is fine by me because I play the Saw games for the puzzles, not for the combat. So I am really, really enjoying playing through the second one and getting some side story. And the last controller, traditional controller game that I played is I beat Bloodstone 007. I beat it in one night. It was about 4 hours long.
God!
But I did really, really like it. It was... It made me feel like a badass playing through it because, like, when you run up to somebody and do, like, a melee combo and just beat the crap out of them, then you pull the focus button and you just pop three guys in the head with a bullet, you know, it felt really good. I love the driving segments, minus the ice lake. That is the most frustrating thing you will ever play. But I enjoyed it. I haven't played multiplayer yet. That's on my list for this week. But, yeah, it's very short, so unless you're a huge Bond fan, wait for a price drop. And even if you are a huge Bond fan, you might want to wait for a price drop because it's so short. And like John was saying, the multiplayer will be dead in a month anyway. So, but it is fun. It really is fun. I wish it had been longer because I was enjoying it, and then it just kind of ended. So, and since I'm the only one who apparently played it, I guess I'm going to talk...
You are the controller, Ken.
I am the controller because I played Kinect. I picked up my Kinect on Thursday, and everybody who knows me I have been not so sold on the thing. And I picked it up on Thursday. I have to say I'm impressed.
Oh no! I'll say that.
I will have to say that I have to eat. My words. I'm a big enough guy to eat my words. I picked up four of the Microsoft launch games. Obviously, it comes with Kinect Adventures, which was really fun. The different events are cool. I think it's the biggest thing that a lot of people are talking about is obviously the setup when you get it into your house. And I don't have the biggest living room to play this in, so I have a swivel TV, so I swiveled my TV to the side and kind of gave myself a little room. And I had it calibrated in 15 minutes. It works great. Like, the dashboard navigation works awesome. The voice recognition works awesome. Even my wife was yelling at the Xbox, telling it to play the disc and, you know, all that stuff. And it works great. The tracking is great. When I got into Kinect Adventures, I started playing game. And it's different because, you know, we've all played the Wii. A lot of us have played the Move. And you know that you're basically just using your hands. And that's cool, but when you start playing a game where you have to use your whole body, it really throws you off because, you know, there are parts where you have to use your feet to do certain things in the game, and you're not used to that. And it's really impressive how well it tracks, like, where you're standing. Like, it does field of depth. Kind of like Move does, where if you get closer to the screen, you know, you could reach things closer into the screen. Kinect Adventures is basically just your standard collection of mini games. You know, you've got the river racing, which everybody's seen. You've got this mini game where you're in a tank and you have to plug these holes. There's the space bubble popping. You know, it's just standard motion controlled stuff, but I was very impressed with the way it worked. It actually worked really, really well. Kinect Joyride. It's really slippery. Like, the controls are kind of hard to get used to. The fact that you don't have a gas or a brake, your car's constantly going, that can get a little frustrating. That one takes a little while to get used to, especially since the cars are so, you know, they slide so much. But, you know, it's amazing how well it tracks your turning and everything, and that it actually works. Kinect Sports was your standard fare. It's fun. The bowling is really good considering you're not using any kind of thing besides your hand. It's amazing how awesome it is that you can, you know, when you play a bowling motion game, how you have to use the D-pad to move your character left and right. The fact that you just step left or right is just, you know, it'll blow your mind because, you know, you've never had to do that. And the fact that it tracks everything and little things are cool. Like when I was playing the boxing game and I was beating up on the guy when he would fall down, I would point at him with my avatar and then I would hold my hands up in the air and the crowd would cheer. I mean, it's so interactive sometimes that it's really cool. I did play Sonic Free Riders. That one's a little funny because it makes you stand sideways and it didn't seem to register me as well. I don't blame that on the Kinect. I blame that more on the software. And that was the one that I really was looking forward to because I love Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing. So I was looking forward to a motion-controlled kind of game like that. But I'm still trying to tweak that one to see if I can get it to play better. But and I know Twitter blew up. I think it was Thursday night. But I have to say the most impressive game I played was Dance Central. And yes, it does take a picture of you while you're playing.
Ah, oh, nice.
When you do the freestyle dancing, it takes a series of pictures of what you're doing and puts like a little movie together.
Oh God, I gotta see this.
And awesome. Yes, I made some very funny videos that I could have uploaded to the internet, but I don't think it would have been pleasant. Come on. Well, you know, I'll say this because, you know, I'm 30 years old, I'm a big guy, I'm out of shape. About 20 minutes into Dance Central, I was sweating like a pig, so I took my shirt off.
Oh, I bet the ladies go wild.
Oh, yeah, let me upload that video and I'll get flagged for indecent exposure or something. But I've already talked to Gambus about this, and we need to get a party. We need to get a party to record this because my wife was basically falling off the couch watching me grind to Lady Gaga's Poker Face.
Wow.
And, you know, I will be the first one to say that this is not my kind of thing, but damn if I didn't have a hell of a lot of fun playing it. And it's really, really impressive how well it tracks your movement. So, if you do something wrong, the game lets you know you did it wrong. And it works really, really well. I am impressed. I will eat crow. I'm impressed with the launch lineup. It's your standard, you know, motion-controlled gaming. No, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to replace the controller. And, in fact, I was ready to sit down and play Bloodstone after, you know, bouncing around the living room for 2 hours. So, it's not like I'm going to hope for every game to have Kinect support, but I am very impressed with what they've got, and I don't believe a lot of the problems with it are coming from, you know, a lot of people are complaining that it doesn't calibrate right, and I'm sure there's some exceptions to this as far as people having problems with it, but, you know, I don't have the most ideal setup, I don't have the most ideal lighting, I didn't have the most ideal angle, but the thing still tracked me great, so... You know, I have to say that Sony and Microsoft have both made great motion controllers, and you know they'll appeal to their audience, and that's good. So
well, here's two $1 million questions for you. Do you think that either one will be a hit?
I think Kinect is going to sell like fucking gangbusters.
Okay, and the other question is, which one's better?
You know, that is the $1 million question. And I think it really boils down to two different things. I think the Move is better as far as what it does, which is mimic the Wii. I think it does it better than the Wii does. But I think Kinect is more impressive technically just because of what it can do and what I've seen it do so far. I think Move is more, you know, I don't really know the word I'm looking for, but it's more...
technical?
Yeah, it's just, it works better. It's more reliable. It's more, you know, accurate, as far as the movement, because it's tracking the controller, and that's great, and it works wonderfully. But I think Kinect is more impressive technically because of how much it does track. Like, I was amazed at how much the dancing game tracks what your body's doing. I mean, I was just blown away about how awesome it was. And, you know, navigating through the dashboard with your hands and just speaking. It takes you a while to get used to, because you're used to having, you know, that controller in your hand and hitting the button, and now you don't have to. So, but I think both of them are awesomely impressive. I think both of them are, they have a bright future if people use them right. And that may be the case with, like I said, with Sonic Riders didn't play as good as, you know, the Microsoft games. And is that because the third parties aren't as good at knowing the technology? Just like on the move, the Sports Champions plays awesome. But whereas a game, you know, like the bowling game that came out, the Brunswick Bowling, it doesn't play as good, and that's a third party. So you start to wonder how long it'll take for developers to actually get to that level of the first party developers to make games for this. So
yeah, I think that's what the success is going to be, is the third party, you know, development for it. I don't know if they accept it or not, or if they think it's a good enough venture to make a profit off of it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few months, but I think Kinect's going to sell like crazy. And Move, I'm surprised, didn't sell more. I don't know, Microsoft did something right with their advertising, because people want this thing. So, as far as future funneling goes, I am really looking forward to finishing a few games up for review this week. Obviously, I'm pumped about Call of Duty, and I'm one of the few people in the world who's pumped about playing the single player, because I'm not a multiplayer Call of Duty player. So I'm really looking forward to playing through the single player. As far as anything else that comes out this week, I would really like to. I'm supposed to get Monopoly Streets.
Oh, God.
So, you know, I might be playing some gangsta Monopoly. But other than that, you know, we'll just see what shows up. All right, now that we got the fondling over, it's time to race through everything else. Because that's how we roll. As far as new releases go this week, I'm just going to say that Call of Duty comes out. Because, you know, I looked at this list and everything else on here is like crap. I mean, unless you're excited about Remington Super Slam Hunting Africa.
Wasn't that supposed to come out last week?
Yeah. The only other big things I see on here are the Sly Collection hits this week.
Oh, shit.
Ah, awesome.
Yeah. The Fight Lights Out for PS3, which I heard was awful. So, whatever. And then, of course, Call of Duty Black Ops is the killer. And then the new Xbox controller hits on Sunday with the new Sweet. D-pad. So, that's your big new releases. I'm not going to name all this other shit.
Is Cabela releasing anything? Because that's their normal trick, isn't it?
They released last week with Dangerous Hunts, which I should be getting that for review this week.
Dangerous what?
Hunts.
Okay.
You know, like the ketchup. Alright, anyway, let's do a little bit of news here. Apparently Star Trek Online may go free if Champions Online succeeds in its endeavor of going free. So that may be the future business model of MMOs, is to be free with you pay for microtransactions.
Except for World of Warcraft.
Well, yeah, that's never going to be free. In fact, they may up the price of that. Just wait. Kinect is reportedly selling out around the country.
Oh.
Which surprises not me. Ninja Gaiden 3 will reboot the series.
Why?
I don't know, because Itagaki's gone and they feel like they shouldn't be compared to him. So, I don't know.
More boobies.
Oh, goody.
Yay!
Nintendo is toying with the idea of localizing unreleased 3DS games.
Okay.
So there you go. Sniper Ghost Warrior has been announced for the PS3.
Oh, good.
Why?
Isn't that the one that was on the Xbox a little while ago?
Yeah, that wasn't very good. It should have been called Sniper, Part-Time Sniper Ghost Warrior. Because you didn't really snipe most of the game. Kinect has claimed its first busted television with a guy who was playing Kinect Sports Volleyball.
Was he using a real volleyball?
No, apparently he jumped up and hit his ceiling fan. It busted his LCD TV.
Yeah, whatever. That's a dodgy insurance claim if ever I heard one.
What? All right. He hit a ceiling fan, and the ceiling fan fell and hit his TV.
Yeah, I guess he jumped up to spike the ball in volleyball and shot it right into the TV. I bet
there's a ceiling fan right over their friggin' television.
You got to stand like 6 to 8 feet back away from the television to play Kinect.
Oh, he slammed it into it. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, if I hit it and it fell on, I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
ZeniMax, the guys who own Bethesda.
Every damn thing?
Apparently they're buying a lot of stuff. I'm sure you heard they bought Mikami Studio. Shinji Mikami Studio is now under ZeniMax, as well as id, and now the newest one is a company called Machine Games, who are the former Riddick developers.
Hmm.
The guys who were at Starbreeze. There was a big story this week about Kinect having problems recognizing, and I'm going to say this as PC as I can, dark and light-skinned players. This was apparently reported by Newsweek guy N'Guy Kroll, this isn't the first time he's ran a story about video games and racism, that apparently Kinect had a problem recognizing him. But according to this report, the Consumer Reports has tested the motion control device and says that that's not true. It works
fine.
Maybe
it just has a problem recognizing douchebags.
You see, I was hoping I wasn't going to be the one to make that joke, because that's the joke I wanted to make.
See, I have to say that because Wombat's not here, because I know he would have said that.
Yeah, exactly. And, N'Guy Kroll, whatever. BioWare is the one who said the MMO model may become the free-to-play, which that would be interesting. Is Old Republic going to be free-to-play? Tell us about BioWare.
That'll be a day.
Yeah. PlayStation Home is getting an update this week to allow grouping and voice chat on November 11th.
That's the biggest mistake they'll ever have.
Yeah.
Allow voice chat? Kidding me?
Oh, we're gonna have some lawsuits coming out of that.
Oh yeah, I think I may have to start broadcasting again just for that shit.
Oh good. Like I said, Activision has announced that there will be a new Spider-Man, a new X-Men, and a new Transformers coming in 2011. And they also confirmed that there will be more releases in their quote-unquote hero brand of rhythm games. So there you go. I told you.
Well, fine. I mean, whatever. If they want to make them, let them do it. I mean.
The game Body Count, which was Codemasters' new game, first-person shooter, has been delayed as the general manager left the studio.
Body Count was supposed to be from the guys who made Black.
Yeah. Which looked just like Black.
Uh-huh. Black wasn't really that awesome of a game either. So, I don't understand why everybody on Twitter went crazy when they announced this. Oh my god, you hear about the guys that made Black? They're making another first-person shooter. Oh, awesome. Shoot me in the fucking face. Because I totally don't give a shit.
Yeah, I didn't care much for Black. It was really short and didn't really have a good... Yeah, whatever. EA has revealed Battlefield Play for Free. So another free-to-play. There you go. Shenmue City. Some hints of the gameplay have been revealed. It's a social game, obviously. Whatever. There's a new campaign that's offering free Pokemon as birthday presents.
Oh.
And it's only in Japan, sorry. Activision CEO Bobby Kotick says that he expects 2010 to be the most profitable year ever.
Of course.
Ever in the history of profitability.
He's a leech.
Yeah. And no surprise to anyone, Dance Central had day one DLC. And if you think the prices are getting ridiculous, these are $2.99 a song.
Dude.
Ouch.
So
there's a three-pack for DJ Hero 2 songs at 600 Microsoft points.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
The guys who made 1 vs. 100 are working on an episodic poker game?
Okay.
As we all know, the Microsoft Midnight launch for Kinect was held in Times Square, and if you saw any pictures from that thing, they plastered the shit out of it. It was everywhere. Oh my god. Nintendo has revealed the packaging for Super Mario All-Stars Limited Edition for the Wii. If you didn't hear about this, this is basically the Super Mario All-Stars from Super Nintendo minus Super Mario World being released on the Wii this fall. So Mario Brothers 1 through 3 and the Lost Levels, along with a soundtrack CD and a 32-page booklet.
Although I believe they are updating the graphics to 16-bit.
Like they did on the originals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the original version was a Super Nintendo game, and they were all redone with 16-bit graphics. I'm definitely going to pick that up.
That's pissed, though.
Why?
Because it doesn't include Mario World.
The original one didn't.
It did eventually. It's just a reason for them to re-release it again.
Of course. Now you get to buy Mario World, Yoshi's Island, and Mario 64.
Did you see how much it costs?
Was it like $29.99?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but is that supposed to be a deal for Super Nintendo games?
It would be nice if they did to that what in the style of the new Super Mario Wii game. That would be pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me an update like Sony's doing with the Sly Collection and the God of War Collection.
Then it would be a full price title.
I would pay for it then, especially if it had Mario World in it.
Why would it be a full price title whenever we got, you know, Sly's only going to be, what, $39?
Yeah, $39. Same as God of War. It's only $10 more.
Mm.
I'll still buy it.
Because Nintendo's leeches like Bobby Kotick.
Yes, that's why that today, while we're doing the show, they are re-releasing the Wii in a red packaging.
Well, bam.
There
and
you go.
It will sell.
Oh, it'll sell like fucking gangbusters.
I don't understand these fucking... it pisses me off so bad. These fucking fat cats in Nintendo.
It prints money.
Yeah, it's just like sitting around with money. Scrooge McDuck style.
Hey, if I could do it, I'd do it too. Shit. Hulu Plus is coming to all PlayStation 3 users next week. It's an invitation-only period for PlayStation Plus subscribers. Oh, it's apparently drawing to a close. It'll be for all users next week. Gran Turismo 6 development is already underway.
Oh my god, they need to shut the hell up.
Epic has some sweet ideas for Shadow Complex 2. I got an idea. Let's make it. That's all I
got. How about like not make the map so fucking confusing to the point where I don't know where I'm going?
I know one of the big stories about Kinect this week was there was apparently talk of games that use the controller and other devices within the game. So it's a hybrid Kinect / controller game. And apparently there's already one being released this month. It's the new Harry Potter.
Okay.
So it uses the controller and just your body.
Is that for things like spells and stuff, I'd imagine?
I guess. Maybe you can get like a wand, like a plastic wand, and wave it around.
Oh, good. More peripherals and stuff to buy. Go outside and break a branch off of a tree and then come back and play Harry Potter.
Hey, Nintendo did it. They sold plastic Wii holding cases and called it a zapper. Price cut boosts the PSP Go ahead of Xbox 360 in Japan. I'm sorry, was this supposed to be, you know, something to be proud of? Did the 360 sell like 4 in Japan last week? Microsoft increased their holiday sales projections after or right before the launch of Kinect. It nearly doubled its holiday forecast. They've got a lot of stuff riding on that game, or that little camera. Assassin's Creed Brotherhood will feature the first Metal Gear Solid cameo. You can unlock Raiden's outfit from Metal Gear Solid 4.
Odd combination?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. Michael Jackson game contributor Longtail was acquired by Ubisoft. The Michael Jackson Experience, as we all know, is due out for the Wii, the PSP, and the DS this year, and then next year for Kinect and Move. Which, after playing Dance Central, man, I'd like to moonwalk on Kinect.
Get yourself a glove, too.
I know, dude. That'd be awesome.
Sweet.
Dragon Age Facebook game is to unlock content in Dragon Age 2.
Snap. Now they're going to make me do that shit.
Microsoft is defending their new indie game dashboard listing, which apparently a lot of indie developers were upset that the new dashboard doesn't focus on indie games as much as the old one did. So, that's kind of crappy.
That is. I read a story about that, and I think that's bang out of order. It's like Microsoft will slowly, it seems like though they're going to slowly kill it.
Yeah, I know, well, which I sucks.
Mean, I hate to say it, but they probably saw that they weren't making a profit off of it, so they're trying to get rid of it.
Well, I can't blame them from a business standpoint, but from a gamer standpoint, it kind of sucks.
They'll probably just cherry pick all of the good developers that have made games, such as the people who made Dishwasher and Limbo and whatnot, ones that they can actually make a lot of money on, and then ditch the service.
Yeah, probably.
I don't see how the Dishwasher made a good game.
I liked it. Bit of man.
Valkyria Chronicles 3 demo coming to PSN next week.
Okay.
Is that PSP or PS3?
PSP.
PS. There you go.
That's a shame. I like the PS3 version.
Yeah.
The Rock Band 3 Fender Stratocaster guitar has been priced and dated. Now, you have to take into account that this is a real guitar. With that in mind, it costs more than any of the bundles have ever cost. It's $280.
My God.
It's due out on March 1st, 2011. But just keep in mind, this is a real guitar that you can really play in an amp.
Oh, it comes with an amp?
No, it doesn't come with an amp. You can plug it into an amp. You will also have to buy the Mad Catz MIDI adapter to plug the guitar into an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3, and that will cost you another $40.
Of course. There you go. $300. $320 for... I'm speechless. I don't know what the hell to say. Go buy a real damn guitar, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, you can actually get a guitar cheaper than $280.
Exactly.
Samurai Warriors 3 is getting a PS3 port, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why. Gran Turismo 5 discs are being stamped as we speak.
Liars. Liars.
Whatever.
So it'll be out this year. I promise this time.
Yeah, but when? They haven't even announced the damn date. They got 2 months.
I think they'll probably just keep all the copies they stamped, and the rest of what they're going to do will be end up being patches.
Or they could do like Alpha Protocol and made the game in October and then delayed it for 6 months and didn't do anything to the game and then just put it out.
Yeah, you can do that. That's fine. All right, NBA Elite 11 has officially been canceled, like anybody had any doubt.
But we get NBA Jam, hey, for $50.
Yeah, for $50. as we all know, this week was election week, and that brought forth the big Supreme Court hearing for video game violence. It was rejected, but I do have to agree with somebody that I saw on Twitter posting about you don't need to show up to protest in a Mario outfit.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah, so...
That's craving attention.
Yeah, no doubt. And it makes you look very immature, by the way. It's hard to take you seriously when you're wearing a plumber's outfit and a big-ass mustache. anyway, Borderlands, people are still playing Borderlands. The new patch is out, 1.41, addresses some glitches and raises everyone's level cap for free.
Oh, bam.
So you can achieve level 58, even if you don't have any of the DLC. PlayStation 3 is getting exclusive Assassin's Creed Brotherhood DLC in the form of the... Okay, I'm going to blow this one up. The Copernicus Conspiracy? Copernicus? Copernicus?
That's Copernicus.
There you go.
Copernicus.
Copernicus. That's awesome.
Hey, you liked it. Whose phone's ringing?
Not mine.
Not mine.
Hey, answer your phone, dude. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Moto. Apparently, Medal of Honor didn't meet our quality expectations, says EA.
Okay.
So, here was a big one this week. Keiji Inafune left Capcom.
Yeah.
And then he lambasted Capcom. And he said that Japanese developers are becoming salarymen.
He's always been a big believer in Japanese game development, having to become more westernized, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Saying they're lacking, but they, you know, they've fallen behind everyone else.
Well, that's kind of big that the guy that created Mega Man left Capcom.
Yeah, just before Mega Man Legends 3 came out.
I know. What's up, dude? A lot of people were joking that he left because they had the designs for Mega Man Legends 3. Like, you could vote on them, and his got last place.
Well, fuck you. I'm leaving.
I'm leaving, man. I'm taking my ball and going somewhere else. Somebody needs to pick him up, though, seriously.
I'm sure they will.
Oh, yeah. Shigeru Miyamoto forecasts 2D and 3D Mario games on the 3DS. Please, really? Hey, dude. Okay, whatever.
I'm guessing there's going to be a Mario game on the Nintendo handheld.
What, you think?
No, but Shigeru Miyamoto came out and said it was. Now I believe him.
Yeah, there's a rumor going around that Slant 6, the guys who made SOCOM Confrontation, are making a new Resident Evil game.
Oh my God, it's over. you can take Resident Evil and flush it down the damn drain.
Nintendo is not planning on a Wii price cut for the near future. They're sticking with the $200 price point in the face of falling sales. Here you go. We just talked about this a minute ago. The Wii version of the Michael Jackson game will include a glove.
Oh, good God.
It's white and it's encrusted with a bunch of fake diamonds.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is apparently planning a Project Gotham Racing reboot. But it won't be developed by Bizarre Creations.
Yeah, because they're working on James Bond.
That's right. Dance Central 2 is in pre-production underway at Harmonix.
My God. Freaking cash cows. Tell ya.
Crackdown 2 is getting a deluge mode on November 16th.
Who plays Crackdown 2 anymore?
I haven't put it in my system for months. Apparently it's a firefight style of gameplay. Imagine that. Super Meat Boy, the awesome Xbox Live Arcade game, is going to miss its November release because of the file size limitation and that they need to compress it.
Didn't they say it's never coming to the PS3?
I don't know. They might have. They're trying to squeeze it under 50 megs for the Wii, but apparently the original game's like 700 megs.
Jesus.
So there's no mention about the PS3 version. Here's one for you. Bejeweled 3 has been announced. It's coming in December.
What are they going to do with that?
I don't know. Add a new shape? I haven't the slightest idea. Square Enix lowers its sales and earnings forecast. So apparently they decided that they weren't going to make as much money. Ghosts and Goblins is getting a makeover in Korea.
Just in Korea?
That's what it says. It says a new Ghosts and Goblins game made by Korean developer Seed9 is coming to the G-Star 2010 game show dubbed Ghosts and Goblins Online.
Oh, it's a friggin' MMO.
Yeah.
No wonder it's in Korea.
It's probably one of those free-to-plays with item transactions.
That game really lends itself to MMOism, isn't it?
After the rumored Sony PlayStation phone, of course the iPhone, the Android, the iPad, the Windows phone, Nintendo states they have no interest in smartphones.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. There you go.
Well, a Sony phone fits, doesn't it? Because it's Sony, and they make phones, and they make Nintendo don't make anything like that, do they?
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. All right, here's one for the sad week. Mother kills her baby after the baby interrupts her Farmville session.
There's got to be something underlying that's... No one does that. There's got to be something else there.
Yeah, it says the 22-year-old potentially faces life in prison after shaking her baby to death. Baby was 3 months old, started crying after playing Farmville on Facebook.
Well, that would have happened anyway. She's not fit to be a mother. So, I mean, to blame Farmville's silly because it's clearly the mental state of the parent that's the issue.
Yeah,
it says right here that she explained that after she shook her baby once, she smoked a cigarette to compose herself and then shook him again.
Jesus Christ.
See, also, okay. Yeah, the baby may have hit his head during the shaking.
May have. Yeah.
That's just goddamn awful.
Yeah. Layoffs. Canceled project. IO Interactive. Talking about laying off as many as 35 staffers, and they may be canceling Hitman.
Yeah, no Hitman then.
Well, I don't
blood money wasn't that great anyway.
No, and Kane and Lynch is kind of, I mean, I like it, but it's not a big franchise that's going to make them a lot of money.
You sure about that? They're making a freaking movie starring Bruce Willis and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, but that'll get canceled. They also made a movie out of Prince of Persia.
That wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad, but...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll get another Prince of Persia.
Yeah, we ain't getting another Far Cry movie.
God, thank God for that.
Let it both touch anything and it destroys the franchise forever.
Zelda Ocarina of Time and Nintendogs are apparently part of the 3DS launch lineup. Schedule also has Pilot Wings Resort and Steel Diver, which is not unlike Holy Diver by the late, great Ronnie James Dio. So there you go. And that's all I'm going to do because I'm back to Halloween. I don't need to go back that far. And besides, I need to get some questions, some tweets, some all that good stuff in going on, you know what I'm saying? Alright, I promised I'd read it this week, so I'm going to read it this week. Tortellini1 says, "Hey guys, first of all, love the show. My friends and I are starting a podcast soon and was wondering if you had any tips. How do you post them on iTunes? Good and cheap recording equipment? Good structures for podcasts? I will tell you guys if you when it goes up, if you want you to listen, you can. It will be a video game podcast with a little movie reviewing on the side." He recorded his first episode. He sent the link. If you guys want to check it out, it's twoagentsandacynic.blogspot.com. He would still like advice on equipment and iTunes, as all three of us just use one mic. Gambus will confirm this with me, but that's how we started.
Yep.
All four of us sitting around a wooden table with one gigantic microphone that we all talked into, and it sounded awful. But eventually,
what was the name of the podcast again?
ZTGD Radio.
No, his podcast.
Oh, his podcast is it's on twoagentsandacynic.blogspot.com. So, I'm guessing it's going to be called Two Agents and a Cynic. So, you can go check that out. As far as advice, getting it on iTunes is as simple as creating an account and submitting your RSS feed. So make sure you create an XML file that has all your episodes on it, and eventually it will get listed. But getting it up in the top spots takes a lot of reviews and time, as we know all too well.
The best advice I can give anybody, because I've been asked a bunch of times. I mean, I've been on podcasts. I've been on like four different podcasts in my life and been doing it for years. The best advice I can give to you is if you need to do this for yourself. If you get to a point where you say, this isn't fun and this is just becoming work to me, then you need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I do this every week because it's fun. You know, it feels like I'm just hanging out with a bunch of guys talking. And yeah. I think that once it becomes a job, you need to stop. Because you won't put your heart into it and you just, you know, it's just like another thing that you do. And, you know, I've had it happen to me at podcasts before, so...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Have fun. That's the best way to do it.
Yep. Got to continue to have fun, too. That's the reason why we're at, what, 170-something? Tell me about it. All right, next question, and this is one of the ones I was laughing at earlier, Gambus, just so you know. This comes from Pink Taco, and no, that's not what I was laughing at. He says, "I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I love the podcast. I just have one question. Does Gambus ever play anything that's not for a 10-year-old Japanese kid?" He also says, "Ask him if he could please talk about Dragon Quest IX and his future fondling. I can't wait." Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Next week. Wait for it.
All right, Garen420 says, "What's up, guys? Got to say, love the podcast. Been listening for a while and just joined the site. I got a cue. Do you guys ever meet and greet? If not, would you ever?" I'm not sure if he's referring to us in general, but we all meet and greet except for, I know John and Drew haven't met, and neither Jeff either. We've never met.
It's a bit far for me to walk, to be fair.
Well, yeah, it's a bit far for us. It's a bit far for us to swim over there. You know.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Kim, but aren't you going to PAX East?
Yes, I will be at PAX East this year. So if anybody wants to meet and greet there, I would be more than happy to.
I'm really wanting to go, but it's becoming very difficult to convince my lazy ass roommates to come with me because they are a part of my Rage Quit Radio thing.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to get press badges, and it's not going too well at the current moment.
Hey, if you want to go with me, let me know, and I'll get you a press badge.
Okay. All right.
That goes for anybody on my staff. I'll be up there. Obviously, my wife's visiting her sister because her sister's having a baby in March, so that's why I'm going. But I will be at the show all 3 days. So if you guys want to meet and greet then, more than welcome to.
There you go.
Oh, look, my Android phone just came up and told me that I have an update. Oh, snap. New Android phone. yeah, what's up?
You used to be the guy who didn't care about phones. I don't give a shit about my phone. My phone does text messages and phone calls, and that's all I want to do.
Yes, I know. Alright, Pink Taco has another question. He says, Zero, what would you say to Just Cause 2 with 4-player online co-op? I say fucking awesome. Well, I second that notion. Could you imagine rolling down the streets of Panal with 4 of your friends in monster trucks destroying everything? Actually, they made a mod on the PC where you could do that, and I was so jealous. They could change the name of the game to The Expendables.
Oh, God.
I hope Just Cause 3 includes co-op. Stay frosty.
The Expendables, now that would be a cool video game.
If Just Cause 3 doesn't have co-op, I'm going to cry, because Just Cause 2 was like one of my favorite games this year, and I'm so looking forward to a sequel. R.E. Joshin says, you guys all going out trick-or-treating after the podcast together? That was obviously for the Halloween question. No, we didn't. And he said, did anybody dress up like Tron?
Gambus.
He probably did. Which, by the way, Gambus, I saw a preview for Tron in 3D yesterday when I was at... when I went and seen Saw.
You saw the same when I did then.
Yeah, it was in 3D.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
No.
Yes, it was.
What?
I fucking
it was awesome. Don't listen to him, Gambus. He's talking shite.
I was in there watching the trailer. I was watching the trailer with Boogeyman, and he leaned over to me, and he's like, I hate when people say they love this movie, because no, you didn't. The first one sucked.
I agree with you.
I saw the big preview, the one that was like half hour long in 3D, and that looks awesome.
Oh, I just watched that trailer. I'm like, why is anybody excited about this movie? You're throwing fruity frisbees at each other and riding ridiculous bikes around.
Kidding me? The first movie was just a bunch of people staring. Everybody just stared, and there was like white noise in the background.
It was early 80s era cinema. That's how all movies were back then.
Star Wars was good.
Yeah, but you like Saw.
Yeah.
Star Wars had a lot of...
pretty bad.
Wait, hold on. How many Tron movies are there?
One.
Okay, how many Saw movies are there?
Far too fucking many.
There's 7. Six. You know why? Because people keep going to see them.
Because people are idiots.
Mm-hmm. Don't you tread on me, son.
I will have to admit, the first Saw was absolutely mind-blowing. It was really, really good. The twist at the end, it was imaginative, it was clever. And then they made Saw 2, and then 3, and then 4, and then 5. You know what I'm saying? It all got a bit boring.
Oh, I'm all about the story, and I'm so happy with the way it ended. It's over, and I'm so thrilled. And I will tell
you
this.
It's actually over, though. That's
yes,
the thing.
It's over. Trust me, it's over.
Okay.
It is finished, and the fact that I saw it in 3D pissed me off because it didn't need 3D. I wish I could have seen it without 3D.
So, I'll wait for the Blu-ray release then.
Yeah, I'll just wait for the Blu-ray and watch it without those stupid glasses on.
By the way, Scott Pilgrim comes out on a DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Heck yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. I really need to see that.
I have not seen it either.
It's freaking awesome, man.
It's good.
It is.
All right. Last question in the thread comes from Sam in Seattle. And he says, this question is mostly directed towards Drew, because I know he recently purchased Dragon Age Origins.
Yes, sir.
If you already haven't shared your impressions during fondling, what do you think of it? Which you did.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've been waiting to purchase Dragon Age because I knew there'd be a Game of the Year edition, and now there is. Then he asks Wombold, in the past you mentioned a Dragon Age book that's a prequel to Origins. How imperative is the book to overall story in Origins? Well, he can't answer that this week. Sorry. Does it really matter which I do first, read the book or play the game?
No, I mean, unless you really, really, really want to get into the story. I mean, I'm getting into the story majorly, and I've never read the book.
Well, from what I understand, there's two books, and they deal with their prequels. They deal with the mythos behind Dragon Age. And on a side note, I was at the bookstore the other day, and I saw that they had a pen and paper RPG of Dragon Age now.
Interesting.
Yeah, like Dungeons and Dragons.
All right. The rest of his question says, I'm guessing reading the book gives you the story before Origins, which we've kind of answered that, but I'm just double-checking. I'm so excited to play Dragon Age, I can't stand it. I've been so busy with work and school that I haven't been able to play games for so long. I just want to make this the most kick-ass video game experience I've had in a long time. That was definitely not a run-on sentence. But, yeah. And the game is awesome. I've never read the book, and the story was still awesome. It makes me kind of want to go read the book, but, you know, I'm not big on reading.
Sam, you're in for a treat, for real. Like, I'm 10 hours in, and I've got a crap ton more to do.
All right. Now I'm going to go into the tweets. I'm going to pick up a couple from a couple weeks ago. The last one that I have here that we didn't read was Sodoom says, once again, I love the show. By the way, it's Coder, not Cooter. I know. I know it's not, but it's funnier when you say Cooter. He says, I loved Fable 2, How is 3? Talked about that. And he said, still no Minecraft. But I believe Wombat talked about that last week, or the week before. Congrats to Che Morongo. He was saying on here, I'd like to give a shout to his San Francisco Giants. That was before they won, but they won. They won the World Series. So congrats. Mega Monkey says, my birthday's coming up in about a month, so I was wondering what should I ask for? Borderlands Game of the Year or Red Dead Redemption?
Oh, Red Dead. God,
Red Dead, no doubt.
That's a hard question for me because both of them are so awesome.
But it is a pretty hard question.
Red Dead is one of my favorite games of the year, so...
Red Dead definitely has the better...
Red Dead is my favorite game of the year so far.
It has the best narrative of both of them, that's for sure. If you want something that has like a more of a multiplayer... Well, they're both multiplayer. Crap. That is a pretty tough question.
Yeah, but Red Dead's really, really good. Both of them are really, really good. I say get one of them and then ask for the other one next year. Because they'll still both be awesome. Che Morongo says, does anyone know any kids' games a 5-year-old would enjoy on the 360?
Toy Story 3.
Yeah, Toy Story 3 is awesome. But I saw Che Morongo picked up Kinect, so man, definitely pick up. I know you got Kinect Adventures, but get sports. Sports is really good, especially for little kids.
Kung Fu Panda?
Kung Fu Panda was awesome.
Little Ninjas, I think.
Mini Ninjas.
That's actually quite complex for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, it has some complexity to it. I love that game, though.
I mean, there's also a lot of Xbox Live titles that would probably be pretty appropriate.
Muggsy333 says, So when will the Rock Band 3 game night be? I'm the only one who has it, so I have no idea.
I have it as well.
Okay, well, you have it too.
My roommate does, so I can always steal it from him.
Maybe, you know how the game nights go with us. They always end up messing up or something.
Yeah, or somebody making these dumbass maps that you don't want to play on.
H-Dogger says, got a new iPod and your podcast was the first thing I downloaded. Thanks for the great years.
Well, bam.
There you go. That makes me feel good inside.
Yes, me too.
Dylan MMC says, I've been using Netflix on my PS3 since you've been talking about it so much, and holy crap, way better than 360. I agree.
Even with the new update?
Yes, I've had the new updates. I had it before everybody else, and I was using both versions of Netflix, and I prefer the PS3 one.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, 6-Amp Fuse says, I like that it's not as sensitive on Xbox. If you accidentally tap the controller, you will lose your place on the menu. Other than that, it's no different for me, as far as Netflix goes. H-Dogger says, don't forget to subscribe to the N4G podcast if you don't already. That's good advice.
That is.
D-Hoof says, what did you think of the ending of Star Wars Force Unleashed 2? I just finished it, and I liked it. I would have to be in disagreement. I did not care for it. I was disappointed. So, and I think I'm the only one on the show that's beat it so far, so.
I'm not going to play it.
Key134 says he was tweeting early because he was going to a Halloween party dressed as Mario.
Awesome.
That is pretty cool. He said, also, I saw the new N4G site update. Yeah, we had a new update this week, which is nice.
Yes.
I think their next step should be to make it more mobile friendly, though, which I'm sure that's in the works. I'd imagine this question is a little outdated because he says, should I take advantage of Amazon's buy two, get one deal while it is here, or would it be wise to save my cash for Black Friday? Black Friday is going to be awesome as far as game sales go, so I might save my money unless you already spend it.
If you're a PC gamer, watch out for Steam because they have insane deals when it comes to Black Friday.
Yeah. And we got a shout from the N4G official Twitter for a Follow Friday. So what's
wow.
up? And we got a Follow
Who
Friday.
Runs that one?
Yeah, that's Kat. She runs
Oh, Kat that. Runs that one.
Yeah. And John W. gave us a Follow Friday, too.
Bloody idiot.
He also said that we'll be back this week. If you want to ask the question, go over to the thread.
Oh, a little bit of self-promotion, you know.
There you go. It's always good.
Guys, taking advice from me.
Key134 says, you're back. I saw the recent trailer for Black Ops and decided I will be at the midnight launch tomorrow. Is anybody here going to the midnight launch?
My roommate is, but that's because he works at GameStop.
Alrighty then. Tortellini1 says, I hope you guys have a great show. Do any of you guys play Civ 5? If so, what do you think about it?
I really want to play it. I really do. I don't like those kind of games at all, but I feel compelled to play it.
Yeah, I don't play it.
So.
This loud boy says, will Wombat please do the Andre the Giant I will impersonation? Sorry, he's not here. And none of the rest of us really do a good Andre, I don't think. Because I know Wombat's the king of that one. Is I will win the World Wrestling Federation Championship for Ted DiBiase.
Okay.
Here's one that I was laughing at earlier. John, I hope you get a chuckle. Numero 6 says, hi, I'm French, and I listen to your show to improve my English, and sometimes for video game news. Can you... hold on. Can you fire this English man?
Oh, what?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm the only person qualified to teach him any English. What's wrong with me, then?
Oh, that's... Do you have a qualm with the French?
No, to be fair, our governments have all just got together so that we're having some kind of shared army with the French.
They have an army in France?
It normally sits on the fence.
I was going to say, do they carry guns or white flags? I don't know.
Oh, God. Okay, well, we just lost that listener.
I kid.
Yes. I like to think of the French as being fellow Europeans.
See, now you're being nice. That's good. Oh, that's funny.
That's right. That's lovely. I tell you.
That was funny.
Another satisfied customer.
He also says, what do you think of the 3DS's lineup? A lot of remakes. Great games, but old games.
Nintendo's business model of the last 20 years, isn't it?
Exactly. I think it's awesome. I can't wait for the 3DS. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
H-Dogger says, do you think Black Ops might finally be a good Call of Duty game? I hated Modern Warfare 2, but I have high hopes for Black Ops.
I can tell you this, it's not going to be a good Call of Duty game. Bam.
I think it's going to be awesome. I think Treyarch is a great developer.
I think they're underrated. They get the shit because Infinity Ward are obviously were the COD guys, but I think World at War was really, really good. They really pulled it out of the bag, and I think it'll be very good.
Yeah, I agree.
They also made Call of Duty 3, though.
Yeah, I know. But that was a long time ago.
They were younger days.
Yeah, they were young. H-Dogger also says, any of you heard of any sweet Black Friday deals? Amazon, I know, has some good ones. You know, I haven't even had time to look at these friggin' deals yet.
So I haven't either.
I don't know. It's not like I'm going to get my ass out of the house on that day anyway. I'm staying home.
Oh, hell no.
Jerkstore81 says, A1 sauce on saltine crackers is delicious. That's a nod to Killer Wolverine's A1 sauce on saltine crackers, which was gross.
Yeah.
Fixer says, I know this is off topic for the podcast, but what did you guys think of The Walking Dead if you saw it last week?
Oh, fucking amazing, dude.
I haven't seen it yet.
The next episode comes on tonight.
Damn, I'm going to have to watch this. Everybody's talking about this show.
Dude,
I thought it was a repeat tonight. Oh, no, of course it isn't. No, we're a week behind. Sorry.
It is freaking awesome.
There you go. Well, I'm going to have to check this out then. Sadoom says, I believe that Stone Cold and the Rock era of WWF, WWE was the best. What do y'all think? Watching WrestleMania 17 right now. You know, I was into wrestling when I was a little kid, and I still go by the Legion of Doom and Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was Sting, my favorite. Yeah.
Sting before he turned
emo.
Emo. When he was Stinger.
Yeah. That was my time.
Yeah, Rowdy Roddy Piper versus Hulk Hogan.
Macho Man Randy Savage before, you know, Slim Jims.
British Bulldog.
There you go. Yeah, the Mountie. That was Coco
Slaughter.
Coco Beware.
The Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah. Mm. All right. Tyrant94 says, hey, N4G dudes, with the mess that was Fallout New Vegas, is it safe to say the studios will stop handing over their big franchises to Obsidian?
I sure as hell hope so.
Nope. Dungeon Siege 3, developed by Obsidian.
Well, it sold well, so...
Yeah.
It's Fallout, I mean.
Yeah, it's Fallout. They can't lose.
It was no different to 3. 3 was terrible.
Oh, I never had a game-breaking glitch like I got in that one.
It was terrible. Yeah, but it depends on when you played it. Because they did patch it sort of sharpish.
Fixer also says, oh, and another off-topic one. If you haven't seen the trailer for the movie Sucker Punch, check that shit out. It looks amazing.
It looks good.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it does look ridiculous.
I don't even know what that is.
But it's probably going to be a fun movie. You should go look up the trailer.
Will do.
IFHD says, how are the babies? Well, my baby's fantastic. 6 months old, and he's about to crawl soon. I'm scared.
Snap.
Your life will soon be over when you can't control where they go.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be scared. Sadoom also says, I just started Darksiders. I love it, though. I hope they fix the flaws in part 2. Example, the overcomplex controls and the movement speed. I can't wait for the second one. I love the first one.
I still need to finish that. I'm the last dungeon.
Oh, it's a great game. Okay, D. Pittard says, now that the three big have their motion controllers out, what is going to be the next big thing? I'm going for 3D. I think that's going to be the next big push.
3D will be there, but I think 3D won't really explode until you get rid of the glasses.
Well, yeah, but I think that's going to be the next big thing for all the thing. Now that motion control's out, I think that's going to be the next big, big thing.
I don't know. I think that'd be too expensive for all regular people.
Yeah, it'll get cheaper over time, though.
I know what the next big thing will be after 3D.
What's that?
Holograms.
Oh, Jesus. Get off your fucking bridge on Star Trek.
Okay, hey. Well, we talked about this last time.
Hey, I just made a comment. All right, I got to finish this up. I hear a boy screaming. Davos Flood says, howdy, after playing both Modern Warfare's and Reach, I've been pondering this topic, which I'll express in part 2. Do you prefer a 20-hour-plus game that's somewhat unpolished or a shorter 4 to 7 hour game that's highly polished?
Shorter.
Yeah.
Shorter, highly polished.
Definitely.
Yeah, same here.
All right, Solid Sven says, hey crew, what did you all do in Dragon Age Origins? Race, romance, make, king, side with, any interesting stories or bugs? I don't want to spoil for Drew. Sorry.
Yeah. I can tell you I went with a elf rogue that's trying to be a good guy, but also an asshole at the same time.
Well, maybe when you finish it, we'll have another spoiler episode.
There you go.
Chamarungo says, Kinect is awesome. Dance Central is the bomb. Thank you, sir. It is indeed. John W. says, shit, the podcast is an epic one this week. And finally, Gray F34 says, hey, guys, getting ready for Call of Duty Black Ops Midnight Sale for work. It's going to be awesome. So, there you go. That is all of our stuff. I do have one quick shout-out that I want to give to our friend Shanghai 6 over at Front Towards Gamer. He's doing a charity for
Child's Play.
I think it's something similar to Child's Play. I don't know that it is Child's Play, but I'm just going to read his little release here that he wanted me to read on the air. This is a great charity. It says, Front Towards Gamers military charity organization called Operation Supply Drop has started its initial fundraising campaign with the goal being to raise money to send video game care packages to troops deployed to high-threat provinces within Iraq and Afghanistan. My voice is going out. We are currently raffling off a prestige edition of Call of Duty Black Ops, with the ticket cost being $10. The drawing will be held on Veterans Day, November 11th. If you're interested in the drawing, you can still donate to the charity. I'm sorry, if you're not interested in the drawing, you can still donate to the charity to help out soldiers deployed forward. At minimum, I ask that you at least forward this to the other friends and family on Facebook to get the word out for us. The link to the site is operationsupplydrop.org /page_ID=47. So go check that out. That is a great cause, and you can win an awesome prize.
There you go.
So that is my only shout-out other than the norms. You know, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. Definitely give us some reviews on iTunes. And Mr. Khan, I'm sure you have a few things you'd like to say.
Yes. Shout-out to Front Towards Gamer. Shout-out to Red Sun Gamer podcast. Well, Front Towards Gamer is also a podcast, Shanghai 6. Shout out to the Pink and Deadly podcast. Actually, that'll be all.
There you
that'll
go.
That'll be it.
All right. Well, that is all that I have. If nobody has anything else, we want to thank you guys again always for listening. So, but we're going to get out of here for now. And we hope you tune in next week, and we hope you made it to the end of this epic podcast.
Yeah.
Epic.
So, Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind as to give us an epic outro.
Epic fail. Welcome to the N4G Podcast.
Oh, you can! It's me, Mario!
Zero dollars!
This is going to be a very interesting episode.
Greetings, programs. I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat. And Killer Wolverine. Play games, not consoles. No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.